Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Hudson, Florida. A 47-year-old man is behind bars after he attacked two people with a sword after accusing them of stealing his socks. Definitely not a Jew.
That's breaking funny.
Oh, and Benjamin is in studio, back in studio. Talk to him in one sec. First, a little love for the guys who brought you this half of the show, True Car. Go to truecar.com or download the app and ZipRecruiter. And go to ziprecruiter.com/Adam. I'll tell you more about that in a few. Good to see you, Owen.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Owen is, you can find, well, podcast, Why Didn't They Laugh? It's available on Apple Podcasts. You can leave a rate and review. And the website, hugepenis.com, which I'm glad about because you're a very accomplished penis. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I'm huge. I'm really tall and I play piano and I have the sense of humor of a 9-year-old, so I just put it all together.
We now have the template for the magnetic sign that I'm going to stick to my
Big
nanny,
news, everyone.
Olga's car.
Breaking.
So, Owen, I think you'll appreciate this as a huge penis.
Yeah.
I was walking down the street the other day. I was walking my dog. And I live in a neighborhood where everyone made their money through something that has to do with an education. A lot of doctors and attorneys and things of that nature and business guys and super confusing insurance guys. We never know. Like, I'm not here insurance. Like, where'd you get that? Why'd you get that house? It's so big. It's like insurance.
Yeah, it's like that's a code for like Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, I don't know what it means, but a lot of professionals. And then there's me and my jack-off family who just kind of backed into this whole neighborhood somehow. And
telling jokes.
And I walk around, I go, what do these people know? I know they're smarter than we are, but what else do they know? And I passed a guy's house, and he had a car in front of it, and it had a sign for professional piano tuning. And I was like, I know whoever lives in this house is better than we are, because he has a piano tuner, which means he plays the piano, or kids probably play, they play at parties, probably at Steinway and everything.
Right on.
And then I realized I could get some of that same traction if I took my nanny's RAV4 and put a piano tuner sign on it, because it's always in front of my house.
Yeah, no, that gets you a lot of notches.
It does, that right?
Yeah, you're like in the aristocracy if that happens. People mm-hmm. are like, oh, he has a piano, but it's not the junk that just collects dust. He tunes it.
Daily.
Yeah, yeah, that means he plays it really well. A lot of free time as a kid, a lot of excess resources.
Yeah, yeah. So I told my nan, I said, well, we need to make the sign.
But then if she's there every day, though, now it looks like you have bad wires in the piano.
Don't be a player hater, as DJ Callen would say. Don't be a piano player hater. So I had a template of the sign we had made, and we're having it made now. Now, Olga, my nanny, does understand that she is, you know, part of her job requirements are to put that sign
right on
the side of the RAV4. But my daughter's now announced she will not ride in the car.
Oh.
What?
In the piano tuning car?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's a lie, or?
Because she's at that age where, well, yeah, it's a lie.
No, but
it's not because she has ethics or anything. It's just because she's at that age where she's going to fire out back against everything that dad does is embarrassing.
Right. Yep. The wrong kind of attention for her.
Yeah, you're 12, you know, when we're riding in the car.
Right, but I still want that there, and I will demand she does it.
They are magnets, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be taken
off. And it's funny. Like, my dad sings opera, so at that age, he would just start belting out Puccini at, like, Walmart. Way more embarrassing.
Everyone in distant aisles are like, is that Puccini? Which Walmart where? Which Walmart?
Oh, that was in Oswego, New York. So
that's really, everyone knows Puccini.
Yeah. My dad is not an opera singer and used to threaten my brother and I in public that if we didn't stop fighting, he would sing Barbara of Seville, and he did it all the time.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah. My dad did gay porn, and he would threaten. He had a partner named Bart.
I can get Bart
and
over
he
here
would
in
always,
5 minutes.
Yeah, if my sister and I were quarreling or bickering, he would always say, I'll get Bart, and he'll be pantsless. I'll back him right up to the mail chute. No, my dad would threaten. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Put hit it.
Yeah.
Does your dad know the only pop song Puccini was referenced in is that ELO Rockaria song?
Really, like La Boheme, like that one movie Moonstruck. That dude was all about Puccini.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's how I know Puccini. So my parents love that movie.
My daughter and son, for that matter, like in the phase where every time they play Fortnite, I want to go, you know, want me to get on the mic? No, don't get on the mic. Get on the mic. And I'm like, man down.
That's hilarious to know. Like, even if your dad is you, they still get embarrassed. That's hilarious.
Yeah. I think that's a universal thing, but also it is my job to fuck around, right?
Oh, totally.
Because
like,
when they're kids, they're going to go, oh, my dad used to do this, yep, and my dad used to do that. And it's funny, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a good memory. It's a free, you know, like I sort of preach all the time. It's just when your kids go, look, we're playing a basketball tournament in Newhall, and in the first game's at 7 a.m., and then there's a lunch game, and then if they win that game, there's a 5 o'clock game. That's Saturday ruined. That's a ruined Saturday. And so now I have to think, like, do I want to go out to Newhall on Saturday morning, or can I get to the shop and explain I got a meeting or something like that?
Right.
Can I get out of this?
Right.
That's a hassle, time suck, and everything else. Fucking around is free, and you're already in the house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're just walking by in your bathrobe. Take a few seconds, burn a couple calories, and create a memory. It's easy to do. It's weird that all our parents, or so many of our parents or friends' parents, were like so stern and angry and uptight and weird. Like, why are you crazy?
My dad was a lunatic. It was hilarious. Like right now, both my sons are under three, so they both think I'm like hilarious still. Like one's 2 weeks old, so he's still trying to figure out what a neck is.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, I'm just like, coconut. And he's like, coconut. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, crushing. And then, you know, by 10, he's just going to be like, coconut.
It's an alt comic.
Yeah, he's all alt.
Do we have, does Fondalier have that thing that I was asking for?
Wow.
I like Hollywood stars and quotes. That's good.
Whose phone
it's
number
so
is
cynical,
that?
It's cynical, isn't it?
Yelp review. It's our phone number, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't the quotes a little cynical, though, where it's like for these Hollywood?
That's why it's great.
Awesome.
It says professional piano tuning in big red letters underneath in script for the, quote, Hollywood stars,
that's
unquote.
Awesome.
Specializing in Steinway and Yamaha.
That's pretty good.
I'm going to be the toast of this neighborhood. I'm going to be walking around, and I think the ladies who walk their dogs are going to give me an extra look down their sunglasses,
oh,
and the
sure.
guys are going to hoist a beer as I walk by their
this
windows.
Is what's playing in their heads.
Like, I'm going to get a whole new status in the neighborhood.
That's the whole point. You think the real best piano tuner on Yelp 2 years in a row is going to come after you?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
And right now, we're just known as the family with the dumb kids.
Right.
I mean, scholastically.
This is how you change that.
They have a little street smarts, but they're underachievers in the school setting. No more. We shall now be the piano family.
Yeah, now they're like just, it's a circle and a square hole type thing where it's like, you don't understand my kids, piano tuning.
Yeah, yeah, well, I'll just take your logic and drag it out a little bit, Owen, which
thanks,
is,
man.
Yes, and it's been brought up before. Won't people get suspicious that there's a RAV4 parked in front of your house every single day? How could they be tuning your piano every day? And the answer is, all right, I'll go along with you on that mythical journey. Maybe they're just doing it half the time. But I still, and we see the Guatemalan woman right. with the kids getting, okay, so I'm the guy who's smart enough to have a nanny who's also piano tuner.
And another thing, like once a week, just have everyone hear you go, I need it perfect.
Yeah.
Slam on the keys.
Yeah.
That's
good.
My brother's a lumberjack. And
oh, yeah, where's my tuning fork every
and no,
once
but
in a while?
Briefly, he was going to do this just as like a gig, and he had never done it. He
piano
was like,
tuning?
He's like, dude, piano tuners make like 60 an hour. I'm like, I think it's pretty high skill. He's like, no way. He's like, just play the, just make it the note. And I'm like, just don't do that. Just keep cutting down trees.
I like when guys give you the hourly wage of the thing they couldn't do. Like, hey, starting NBA forward, those guys make like $70,000 an hour.
Dude, league minimum is like 200 G's.
Yeah, it's like, right, you're 4 foot nothing.
And
you're
well on your way.
That's always how they think. It's like Facebook this week lost $1 billion an hour. Like, you just can't put it together with capital gains.
Owen is going to be at a event that I'm going to be at on Saturday, I do believe.
Yeah.
Which is Dennis Prager, the other Dennis, the other white meat, Dennis Prager's birthday party, which I think is going to be at the Beverly Wilshire. It's going to be at Star Garden. Yeah, everybody. Everyone's like, hey, who likes the Hasidim? Oh, that's a type of... Oh, I'm sorry. That's a type of Jew? Okay. No? Nothing? No, Orthodox. No, that doesn't mean stands in a right-handed boxing stance. That's, well, it does, but... Jesus Christ. Jits. Babs. I mean, Barbara Streisand. Oh, man, I'm taking a deep dive. Yentl, stage 4. Stage 4, Yentl. All right.
Sure, what's your payoffs?
Is that at the Beverly Wilshire?
I don't remember. I always rely on the emails.
I hope it is, because there's nothing better. I did. It'll be a big night. I'm hosting this event. I think I did Bob Saget's scleroderma charity event there some years ago. But anything that is at the Beverly Wilshire that's of a big, big grand nature means it takes place in the Grand Trinon, which is the carpet I used to clean at the Beverly Wilshire when I was 19. Wow. So it's always great to go back and sit between Bob Saget and Blackie, or whatever John Stamos's name was.
Save that material for Prager.
I was a janitor at the
Blackie
Roosevelt
was his
Hotel.
Name from...
Jesse?
No, Blackie.
Blackie.
He got his start in soaps.
Makes sense.
He's I see that.
Striking looking man.
Gorgeous.
He's a handsome guy.
And he was in like you know, One Life to Live or One Piano to Tune or something like that.
I love your obsession with piano tuning.
I'm going to be the toast of La Cañada and parts of La Crescenta. Not all of La Crescenta. I'm not that grandiose. But I will be the toast of the town.
That's awesome.
You know how many chicks walk their dogs past my house who are smart and are just going to go, wow, this guy's got it going on.
Totally,
in there.
Man.
Did he play Blackie in what soap opera from the 80s?
Blackie Parrish on General Hospital.
Oh.
How did you know that?
Blackie Parrish?
Blackie.
That sounds
good
like something derogatory to say about a church somewhere.
He's at the Blackie Parrish.
Yeah, Blackie Parrish. You know, the weird one.
And the music's awesome, but the preacher got caught for embezzling. So.
Nega, I assume. Brian, please.
Yeah, he's Blackie. That's my John Stamos.
I had no idea.
Reference there. All right.
He seems like a cool dude to hang with. I've never hung with him, though, but he seems like one of those guys that's just a cool dude.
You got to support scleroderma.
Yeah.
So
hopefully Prager's event is in the Beverly Wilshire, the Grand. If it is there, it'll be at the Grand Trinon, in which case I shall return like MacArthur returning to the Philippines.
I was a janitor at the Roosevelt Hotel when it was a dump, but no one ever does anything there that I'm invited to. So I'm always like waiting to like be like the return.
I'm going to pass this along. Get a job at, you know, get a job at some venue or some place that you can return to as a rich adult. Conquer. This time with, you know, this time with front row seat tickets, or, you know, or this time you're going to be emceeing, or this time whatever. Because I, you know, when we did carpet cleaning, we did like Colony Kitchens and Pizza Huts and stuff like that. No one wants a return. Right, I'm going to Arlita to the Pizza Hut
triumphantly.
Hold my cape, you know, like. But this is good.
It's two bedroom in Encino. I used to.
Yeah. Now, the other venue, the two places at the Beverly Wilshire were the Grand Trinon and the Pink Turtle, but the Pink Turtle has been turned into Cut.
Oh,
still good. Yeah. Still good to return to this time.
Yeah, it's a good return. That's a great return.
Beef. All right.
Especially if you're a piano tuner.
Let me tell you about. I bet. Oh, you know, if you check. Max Pat, if you check the rundown on the table in the front there, it's got the event. We could probably find out if it is at the Beverly Wilshire or not. And again, as I complain all the time, there's the Beverly Hilton, the Beverly Wilshire, and then the Beverly Hills Hotel. So in your mind, when you saw an email 3 weeks ago, it's never
could
quite locked off.
It is Beverly Wilshire.
Oh, then it'll be at the Grand Trinon.
Nice.
Be prepared. Get my corn cob pipe!
Is there like a Beverly Ramada that like no one does?
There's a probably. Beverly Jason, a Jason Romano.
It's a Pico in Los Angeles.
True car, everyone. Tips for you. I would say get familiar with that spare tire. Pop that trunk. See how it's held in there. See how that jack works. You got a scissor jack. You got a screw jack. What do you got over there? Figure out how those lugs work and all that. Because you break down by the side of the road at night, you're going to need it, man. Also, here's another tip you might not know. True Car also helps people get used cars with a certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. Enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you're going new or going used, to see what other people paid. So you know what you're getting. You get the deal locked in. You get your certificate. You pick up your car. And also, the True Car certified dealers are competing with one another to get you the best price. So it's not like they've cornered the market. They still got to win your business. You enjoy a faster buying experience. When you're ready to buy new or used, you always go with True Car. All right, let's take a quickie break. We'll come back. We'll do the news with Owen Benjamin right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Oh, hold the phone. Something Owen would probably enjoy based on where he's at. He just did a PragerU short videos on everything. I've done a few of them, but you just did one on the strange death of comedy, which is sort of not being able to say anything anymore because everyone's going to call you a racist, misogynist, whatever. I was just watching TMZ last night. I tell you, you watch 20 minutes of TMZ, you know everything that just happened in Hollywood that day. That's right, La Puccini. But this is, it's my job to watch TMZ.
Yeah. It's the music bed they play underneath all the stories.
They had a story, and the story was on a Seth Rogen comedy. They had a stand-in for one of the kids, black kid, and the stand-in was a black kid, but they put blackface. You know, it's unfair to call it blackface because that's sort of an Al Jolson-y sort of vaudevillian, whatever. They darkened up the black kid who was the stand-in, who was probably a few shades lighter than the kid who played the role because they have to light it. They have to do it a certain way. And it turned into a little bit of an outrage.
Oh, Christ.
Unreal.
And there's the kid. We have the picture. He's sitting there, he's a black kid, and they darkened him up. They didn't put white lips or white gloves on him or anything. He's a light-skinned brother. He got the job standing in because it looks like he's about the same dimensions as the other kid. This kid looks a little heavy set. The kid who stars in the thing's a little heavy set. And so some makeup, what people did is called their job. They're essentially their job. Now, everyone at TMZ is outraged, and they want to know how come people didn't say anything. And it's like, they didn't say anything because there was nothing to say, because they're doing their fucking job, because they're not racist. They don't think every time you pick up a powder puff and apply it to a black kid, there's some sort of racist behavior going on. Like, we don't see race in everything all the time. That's why we didn't have a dialogue about it. Not because we're scared or white people didn't know what to say. We don't read and we don't apply and graft race onto every single thing all the time.
It's ironic to a degree that it's tough to even describe. Where if you're not a racist, you just keep being accused of it for stuff you don't even know.
The guy who's calling the Venus or Serena Williams tennis match and says gorilla effect isn't having to go back and explain what he said because he's not thinking about a silverback gorilla. He's thinking about guerrilla warfare. So, well, how come he didn't know? Or shouldn't he have been more sensitive? No, he shouldn't have been. He's talking. People are doing a job. They're lighting a set in a movie that they're not thinking about being racist.
Because these PC people are constantly thinking, don't be racist, don't be racist. It's almost like a closet gay guy where it's like, how could you go camping with your male friend? It's like, because we don't secretly want to have sex with each other.
Yeah, like my dad's other partner, Andy.
Yeah, like, can you be a black mime?
It's so weird. And then the part I love, the part, I don't know why it infuriates me the most, but Common, who I think SNL described as sort of a TED Talk who rapped or something. Who I don't even know what Common does, other than I think he's one of, I think if you can make that list of small list of black people or women or men or whatever where Madison Avenue figures, I don't know, I don't get it, but I think this gets us some cred something. In this space. Right. Yes. And then you can just go tell a poem that David Alan Greer could riff as Maya Angelou in real time. They just go, yeah, just pay him. Yeah. Just pay him. We'll have him at the Grammys.
It's good to be here. I'd like to take you out for an imported beer.
And then Common gets to be the voice of all people of color. Because he's a poet, and he's a scholar, and he has
very
gravitas,
attractive.
And he's good looking. So why wouldn't? So they catch up to Common outside of a Equinox gym parking lot, and they ask him about this. And here's his comment. Now, again, what drives me nuts is it'd be nice if people went, "Oh, get the fuck out of here! Like, who cares?" Right. Or moving on, or we got bigger fish to fry, right? But here's what Common had to say about this atrocity.
So. I want to ask you about the story about they actually had a stand-in and they had put black makeup on them, low-key kind of put them on blackface.
I mean,
with an afro on them, a fat suit.
Man, I mean, my thing is like, yo, I don't think that's ever appropriate, to be honest, man. If you get a stand-in and the stand-in is not the complexion of the actor, then you got to leave it alone. I mean, even just trying to paint somebody darker to fit somebody else, I mean, what sense does that make? Anyway, man, I ain't with it at all.
You think they could have, you know, cast someone else?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Pick a stand-in who's,
it did cast someone else.
It is the complexion of the
every
actor.
Every stand-in I've ever had has been on a box.
Is that, you know, that serious where you got to work it out with, he got to be the exact complexion or she got to be the exact complexion, but paint somebody darker. Come on, man, it's 2018, man. When is that acceptable? I mean,
what are you talking
about? Man, I ain't with it.
If I'm
a black person on that set, I'm offended. And even honestly, I think a white person should be able to step up and be like, man, this ain't appropriate. Should feel uncomfortable about it. That's what it is. Like, it got to be black and white people standing up for when we see some bullshit going on. I'm out. I got to catch a plane.
Right. He's a hero, and everybody on that set's a coward because they should have stood up
for
hey,
nonsense.
Man.
But wouldn't that, this might sound naive, but wouldn't that have had to have happened for any kid, no matter what color they were, if they're trying to light the kid?
What about height?
Acting?
What about height? Yeah. I'm 6'7". My stand-in on Sullivan and Son for 3 years was 5'10". He was on an Apple box every single day.
Yeah.
Was that like, we should get someone my height? It's like, no, of course not. And if it was like anything but lighting, there's an argument where it's like, we got to blacken him up to play that character. I get that. But like, lighting needs to know exactly how dark you are because it's different levels of light.
Because well, then the other argument would be, why is this kid lit so badly in this movie?
Right, here's why better, can't you see the kid? It's well, like, because he's that. Not lit.
I like to dissect it this way, which is, and by the way, yes, they should have got someone taller to stand in for you, Owen.
Yeah, but it was one of our buddies. So
I know.
I was trying to get him work.
I did that on Judgment Night.
Yeah.
I stood in for somebody I didn't look anything like, and the guy gave me a triple look, that DP. But here's the deal. Something my dad used to do as well. Here's the interesting. So I will reverse engineer this. Common and folks over at TMZ who have to act like, I love it. I don't know why the part, like when I see, you know how I talk about like when the guy leaves the house in the bad ostrich cowboy boots? I'm not mad at him. I'm mad at his wife.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, what the
him?
Fuck didn't you say anything to him?
And his judgment's impaired, obviously.
By the same token, if I saw you and Chrissy like driving down the street and you were just throwing garbage out of the window, I'd be angry at you, but I'd be more angry at her. Like, come on.
Don't let this happen.
What's he doing? That's your husband. Don't let him do that. So I get more angry at the people who go, oh, this is an outrage. This is an outrage. Boy, someone should have said something. Somebody should have been brave enough to stand up. Meaning, of course, implying if I had been on this set, I would have stood up and said something. But white people, come on, it's 2018. Well, my argument is, first off, it is 2018. We've moved on, number one. Number two, when they go, that's stupid. Like, why would you do it? What do you mean, why? They're trying to match a shade because they're doing it. But my reverse engineering is this. Okay, then. Are you saying this was needless and that the makeup artist is a racist? Like, what was in it for the person, the possibly lesbian chick or gay dude who was putting the makeup on? Like, first off, who could be more at the tip of the Me Too movement, and who has attended more women's marches and less Trump and more progressive than a Hollywood makeup artist. Like, yeah. If you walked in with a Make America Great hat again, you'd never be able to work on another set ever again. As a makeup artist, you'd be unemployable if you walked in with a Trump hat on. So we know where their politics are. So now, given that, are we saying that this person was attempting to get themselves fired through this racist act, or were they just doing their job, not thinking about the racist implications of everything? Because you read racist implications into sunflower seed husks. You've decided that there's something there, that there's a little more black than there is white on a lot of those husks, and that big sunflower seed is controlling this to try to send a message to the youth in the inner city. If you guys are going to read it into everything, it's not. It's unescapable.
It's madness.
You cannot get around it.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the point. I think is you can't get around it. I think it's like this weird weapon that you can just win any argument if you just make that accusation. Because ironically, we really, really don't want to be racist, so we'll just kind of comply to anything. Where it's like,
right. But what I would like is the voices, not voices like he can sing, but voices like he can do bad poetry. Comments of the world would say. Well, it just sounds like someone's doing their job. You think they're trying to do something negative to that stand-in, or are they just shooting a movie? And by the way, good for them. They're employing young black actors in their feature. So good for Seth Rogen on that. Anyway, nothing to see here. Right. Let's move on to some real problems that may face this community. Wouldn't that be nice?
That'd be amazing.
Have to go, like, come on, man. It's 2018. Like, what's up?
That's not a great argument either, just stating a number.
I'd like to have a roll, B-roll, of just everyone going, like, come on, man, it's 1827. Like, what's up?
Come on, we're past this.
That's the way you shoe a donkey?
We're almost into the industrial age.
Come on, man.
Come on, 1490, man. Stop talking about this round world already.
I'd like to have a long succession of people in different outfits with feathers in their hat and stuff. Come on, it's 1528. What's up? Also, some guy going, oh, my other version is they've invented fire in the wheel, but I can't get some decent mead. History, a history of complainers, narrated by Adam Carolla. Just yelling out random years and what's going on. All right. Where were we, Gina?
Would you like a story? Yes.
Oh, also, the kid had to wear a fat suit and an afro wig in it as well.
So what's worse than a fat suit for a kid? Yeah. Also,
he was standing in for an overweight. You
know I get it.
They got the blocking.
Trying to match.
All right. Well, now fat people need to be.
Mm, that's right.
And guys with afros.
And afro. Recently electrocuted guys.
Yeah. This is another example of us being at the mercy of the dumb people. Like, the people at TMZ really should know about lighting and blocking and things. They're in the entertainment industry. But let's pretend for a second they don't. As soon as someone informed them, oh, no, that's for the lighting, let's say the light, they should be like, oh, okay, well, I guess that makes sense.
I think they do know, though.
I'm saying. They should know. But on the off chance they don't, why stick to this thing when you get the information? Like, oh, this is why they do it. Oh, okay, well, there you go. That's an answer.
It's like you're seen as cool. It's like if you're mad about nonsense, you're seen as a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you...
Well, they've already started down a road.
Yes.
Yeah. Like
the inability to self-correct the course.
Yeah. You gotta double down.
But it's totally pervasive. But I mean, it'll go like, well, you know, what happened in Ferguson, that big black gentle giant, he was just walking away with his hands up in the air and the cop just unloaded a clip in his back. And it's like, okay. And then they find out what happened and that's not what happened. And they still just go back inside it. Like, well, what happened in Ferguson? It's like, yeah, no, you created something, and now you're going down the road with it, and it just is.
Well, it's like
now.
Framing it's like a house bad. You can't do drywall, and then you can't do, you know, it's like once you start
keep going.
You just, everything you do is bad.
What's the nailing schedule on that drywall?
Oh, man, you're too much of an expert on this metaphor for me now. I'm already out.
No second question.
I'm like, there's roofs too, right?
Let's call it 12 in the field and 6 on the seams. All right. What do we got, Gina Graham?
All right. Well, the Wall Street Journal recently found several families are now hiring tutors to teach their kids how to win at Fortnite.
Oh.
The reports say some are paying upwards of $50 an hour for game experts to help their kids with their playing skills. And in case you're not aware, I know Adam is, the basic concept of the game involves 100 gamers who are dropped onto a virtual island, have to fight to the death, last person standing. Some of the parents interviewed by the Wall Street Journal say they hope their children would turn their video game hobby into a future career or use it to get scholarships. Yeah. Some parents also said hiring video game coaches would be the same as hiring coaches to help with basketball or other activities.
Whoa.
Yeah. Get on it.
It's going to be tough because it's going to fly in the face of my piano tuner.
I was just going to say.
RAV4 when all they hear is Fortnite and gunshots and my wife screaming, you can't shoot me when I'm in the kitchen. I'm in the goddamn kitchen getting more wine. And what are you going to shoot me for? And she's laughing like a maniac. And the sound of Fortnite is the sound.
A machine gun?
Digitally caught a big barrel gun.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It is. When they crank up the volume on one of those new sets that works pretty well, the speakers are pretty good and everything, you wouldn't know if an actual shootout like broke out in your house.
Is that news story coming?
What's the profession that you can get from that? Like, what's the profession of like, yeah, I'm a professional Lord of the Flies guy now?
Military. Because a lot of that is done remotely.
Oh, like
I
drones.
Would think, I would think,
Talk about...
It breaks my heart.
I almost crashed that joke from your set.
No, not even a joke. My mind just got blown like, whoa, is the government really training drone guys?
Yeah.
Benjamin's out there going, hey, why didn't I get a stand-in? You should! Well, what's going on with all this video game training? What practical application? The military and drones! All right, well, that's my time. Thank you guys for coming out to Slappy.
Check out my new PragerU video. I'll see you guys around.
Some universities offer scholarships.
It is.
They call it just for laughs, but that wasn't very funny.
It's crazy how insane and loud it is. And it's funny, too, because I sit in my den with the door shut at midnight, hearing everyone in my family try to kill each other at Fortnite. And I'm like, are you guys done wasting your lives in there? Because I can barely hear myself getting drunk and watching my car auction shows ad nauseum. It's funny because when you go into the next room and accuse people of wasting time, you act as if you're doing push-ups and building ships in a bottle in your room. My room is simply watching something else waiting to die that I somehow deemed more noble than what you're watching. Like, you watch all those stupid housewife shows. I'm watching
Barrett Jackson.
Yeah, I'm watching I'm on 9 hours of Barrett Jackson from Mohican Sun, all right?
2012.
I just found out what an Apollo goes for.
My thing now is, gardening that's clearly not saving us money at all.
Oh, that
like,
is,
I'm just, like, I'm digging holes. I'm growing I'm a couple grand deep. I think we have, like, one piece of kale.
This dwarf avocado tree will pay for itself in 163 years. Like, the fucking tree was $118. I had to pay someone $200 to put it in the ground. So, it's been 3 years so far, zero avocados.
Yeah, just all deer protection. I have to, like, build, like, all these fences, and I have to learn how to, like, hunt deer.
It's like crazy.
It is
fun though. Well, the proclamation, it's a funny thing because when you plant the tree or the Roma tomato bush or whatever it is, this thing is like endless bounty of free avocados. That's not whatever happens.
No.
It's some sort of argument about who watered it last and what the hell's going on. And I literally planted a dwarf avocado tree and a dwarf lemon tree 2.5 years ago. I've gotten no
return on investment.
But I'll yell at Olga if she doesn't. Hey, it's hot outside. You got to get out there with the can. Come on.
You're like, it's 2018. It's time that we forget about grocery stores. It's time we go back to the earth.
It's 11:14. I just like the further back you go.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And what do you do in BC? Like, how do you figure that out? It's like, it's 900 BC, and we don't even know what it's BE yet.
We're not recording the Gregorian calendar.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs these days. Yeah. Man, I'll tell you what.
It's the Cretaceous period. Enough is enough.
Geez, Earth's been cool long enough to know better.
You guys remember Triceratops?
Yeah, throughout the years. All right, Gina, what else we got?
Well, we have just in the nick of time, we were talking the other day about the combined average score, the combined average age for two dudes in a fight.
Oh.
We have one with a bullet, one to beat. Two
this
older
is
men.
This spawned by
Ron Paul.
Ron. No, I think it was Rand.
Rand's the one who fought. Okay.
Yeah. You're way off. Like a letter. Like a whole letter.
Yeah, a letter and a half.
Rand Paul was attacked by his... Rand was attacked by his neighbor, Ronnie Jr. No, I don't know what his name was. But it was a 59-year-old physically fighting with like a 57-year-old or something. 53-year-old, like on the lawn.
It was like sponsored by Centrum Silver.
Yeah, and I had like a 70-year-old bum come at me on the sidewalk down the street the other night. And as a kid, I just thought you got all the fighting out of your... Like, by the time you turned 29 or 30, that was probably it with the throwing down in public with strangers. And we've carried this into our 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
And it's something that never happened. So I was looking for the oldest combined age. So me and the bum have a combined age of, like, I think we had, like, 124 or something. Something like that. It's pretty high combined for two dudes to fight, you know.
Well, the new combined age, 142. Older men attempting to get food samples at Costco in South Carolina ended up fighting after one cut in front of the other one. The state news outlet in Columbia, South Carolina reports that on July 26, a 70-year-old man was waiting for some free cheese samples when another man, 72 years old, cut in front of him, took a sample, walked away. Well, it happened again. The 70-year-old man moved to a free cheeseburger sample line. The 72-year-old man cut again, and apparently that's what things got crazy. The two men exchanged words, and the 72-year-old, he's the line cutter, slapped the 70-year-old across, according to witnesses. His hat, his glasses flew off his face. The 72-year-old said he thought the other man was about to hit him, so he struck first. No arrests so far. They're reviewing the surveillance.
Well, the description was probably like, man in Hawaiian shirt, and just everyone got
and
shot.
Fisherman's cap.
Yeah.
Free samples.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I had the greatest... You know that thing? I don't do a lot of Costco-y or free sample-y, but every once in a while, I'll hit the Gelson's by my house. I got the cheese out there.
Yeah, do a little nibble.
And they're great.
Cubes.
But I always feel really obliged to either buy the product or make some sort of proclamation about, like, I'm going to Frozen Foods, but I'm coming back this way. And when's your break? But I'll be back
or
around.
You endorse it. You're like, this is really good, everyone. You should try this.
Yeah, you guys should try it. I'm lactose intolerant, you know, if I do anything bigger than a free cube. But you guys should definitely. I had the greatest piece of news. I tried the like the wasabi-infused cheddar or whatever, and it was great. And I did that moment now with the nice, like, with the 57-year-old lady where, like, clearly things didn't work out. Otherwise, she wouldn't be in charge of the toothpicks with the cellophane at 57. And I was like... also, the excuse of, I like to stay busy doing horrible jobs, like the guy who works at McDonald's, like, I'm retired, I just want to stay busy. Shaking fries, like
get a hobby.
I like to stay busy working on a yacht, not working
unless
at
you're
McDonald's.
Trying to, like, beat meth, that's not a good excuse.
So, I said to her, I said, oh, this one's really good, you know, I may... think about, you know, circling back and getting, and she's like, oh, we're out of this. And I was like, give me a pencil. I got to snap it. Like, I was reaching for cash.
I'm this close.
You look like I'm scratching my balls, but I was going for cash. So nothing, huh? Oh, man. I was going
to buy
a metric ton
of it.
Yeah. Hold on, Bob, bring the pallet jack back to the F-150. We're not going to. Sorry.
It's like when you try to fight someone only after the fight's broken up.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, no way. You got to stop me. No way.
Then you got to go down this road. So when do you think you'll be replenished?
Yeah.
All right. So I should be.
I'll check back.
I'm going to be out of town, but I can have my assistant swing back. And
I don't want to chance it.
Can I buy stock in the company? Like, what's going on here?
What time does the Gelson's open? Because I'm going to make sure we don't run into this again. I'm going to stash what, 6? I'll have my guy here 5:45. I'll be in a 3-point stance. He'll be in the parking lot.
The engine will run and just be safe.
That's right.
3-point stances are so aggressive.
They're great.
Yeah, they're awesome.
I miss being corrected in a 3-point stance.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a 3-point stance where a fat guy in a windbreaker goes by and goes, perfect. That's exactly what I was picturing in my mind. It's like, you got too much weight on your front hand. What are you? What? Look at your knuckles. Get your fingers off the ground. You want to break your fingers? Get your knuckles down.
We had a guy with a horrible speech impediment who was also like the toughest dude ever. He'd be like, Jesus, Owen, you suck. Like, it was just like, you kept wanting to laugh, and then you realized he would just beat you to death if you laughed.
There is no such thing as a football three-point stance where either your butt is too high.
Yeah.
Or your hands out too far and you have too much weight on it.
Yeah.
The good move that they would never be able to do anymore is just kick out your hand. Just walk by and kick out right. your front hand. Like, what could go wrong? I'm just wearing cleats and I'm more of a little beast. And this kid's nine. Yeah. What could go wrong with this transaction? There's no way I could get in trouble.
Yeah, teaches you a quick lesson when you fall over.
You have too much weight on your front hand. There's that. You're just not low enough in the back. Uh-huh. Your back foot's too far back.
It's like yoga.
Oh, man. They come by and they judge.
It's almost unnecessary. Like, I play DN and we're allowed to, like, stand a lot. And I'm like, why can I stand when I'm supposed to go down? And they're like, don't ask questions.
I was literally just talking last night with my wife about my son needs this. Everyone needs this.
Oh, you need it.
We were talking about my nephew who like has a casual relationship with jobs and showing up and on time and all that kind of stuff. It's all right. They all grew up playing soccer. None of them played real football and they don't have whatever that thing teaches you. You must stop fucking up or I will fire your ass. Thank you.
Unless it's like Columbia soccer, where it's like you die if you mess up.
Yeah, like Pablo Escobar is going to put your head in a duffel bag if you guys lose.
Put in your own goal.
That
it's on your desert.
Most of my character comes only from football.
It's all from football.
Like, literally, that's the only thing I can withstand, like, burdens and, like, pain and stress. It's all from football.
It's part of the sort of overall kind of feminization of our society, but people do not put a value on that invisible thing. They want to know about study habits and how many languages do you speak and how many degrees you have and stuff.
How many pianos are you getting tuned?
How many pianos are you getting tuned? Having intestinal fortitude, just being tough, being able to sort of power through, like just being able to get up and move and do all of the things that football teaches you is the most important one quality to have. After that, you'll just apply that to all the other degrees and the qualities. And all right, you went up and you did an open mic going and it didn't go that well. You'll be back next week for more punishment.
That's how it works, especially when it's almost like pointless. Like, because me and my brother have this thing where we call insert theory when needed, where we're almost too good at making arguments where it backfires and we're just full of it. But like, if you're doing hit it like 6 hours a day in August, like you can't argue it. It's like up, up, and you're like, how does this help me? Someone's like, up!
Right. You know? Well, doing the slurry voice. Elmer Fudd voice.
Owen, if you had Planet Jupiter, you suck.
Planet Jupiter. And all the great references to the, all right, girls.
Oh, it's always good. Take me, ladies.
Oh, man. Mr. Gallagher, his daughter, Kelly Gallagher, was a couple years younger than us, was like an Olympic hopeful in gymnastics. And so we were 11 and she was 9 or something. And all he used to trot out is, more push-ups. My daughter, my blonde daughter, they do more push-ups in her girls' gymnastics class. And you guys are getting wobbly arms at 20. They fire off 50 on the gun. And you'd be like, oh, my God, Kelly Gallagher's doing more push-ups. You could never get away with that today. But it was so crazy effective.
It's bonding, too. When, like, you and other dudes go through it together, I'm still friends with a lot of those guys. I haven't seen, like, 20 years.
You and figure out what comedian just went to Rutgers, came through here?
I don't remember.
What's his name? Oh, I'll tell you in a second. You guys, Brian's going to come up with it in a second.
I'll give you my version of the, hey ladies, my daughter, blah, blah, blah. I'll give you an updated version of that and how it goes wrong.
We'll enjoy that. The big stand-up just came through to talk about football for 20 minutes.
Oh, Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan.
He's a great dude.
Jim Gaffigan. There's a guy. There you go. He went to Rutgers.
He's got a big head. I can see that. It looks like a violent head.
He's got a big violent head. ZipRecruiter. Hiring used to be hard. Now it's easy. You only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. 80% of employers who post their job at ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day, within the first 24 hours. With results like that, no wonder ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. And right now, our listeners, oh, he went to Purdue. There you go. Right now, our listeners, that's right, our listeners can try out ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. ZipRecruiter.com/ADM. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Adam. Try it out for free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Hey, Max Pata, is that guest here thing relevant?
For Damashek.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure it out. Yeah.
Are you aware you just spelled your own name wrong?
Oh, I did?
Yeah. You spelled it A-D-M.
Oh, wow. A-D-A-M.
There you go.
ZipRecruiter.
You breathed it.
Thank you. I breathed it. Sorry, yes.
So I coached high school football for 2 years. It was really, really fun. JV, and so it was a small school, so it was kind of JV varsity both. But how the all right, ladies, that kind of thing. Here's all how right. It goes wrong in modern days. And also kind of LA specific. And I'll preface this by saying it was not a good line. I admit that. However, our quarterback's name was Charles Lansbury. And he was good. Tall kid, a big arm.
Any relation coming his way?
Charles Lansbury. And he made a piss poor throw one day in practice, you know, 8-on-8 or whatever it was. And I was like, easy, Gina.
Sorry,
and I was like, come on, Charles, you look like Angela Lansbury on that throw. And he goes, haha, that's my grandma.
Yeah.
Was it really his grandma?
Yeah.
That is in LA.
It was Cabot his grandma. I'm like,
was that show about a serial killer? Like, everywhere she went, someone died.
She was the only killer.
260 episodes of death. Like, it's like, another little tiny hotel and someone's dead again.
With the most upbeat theme song.
Yeah.
So I said to Charles, I remember, she's a great actress. She's grandmother's great actress.
I visited the set once was surprised to see her tall, young African-American standing. I was like taken aback.
Jessica Fletcher?
Jessica Fletcher.
All right, let's do one more.
All right, well, after being off the air for more than a year, Last Man Standing is set to premiere next month, and fans should get ready for the comedy series to return with similar plot lines as the previous season.
Kevin Hanch.
Yes, sir, along with star Tim Allen's character expressing his more conservative views, according to Fox News. In May, it was announced the series was picked up by Fox after ABC canceled the popular show.
Yeah, I was out having a steak with Kevin Hanch, who created the show and writes all those monologues and everything, vlogs, the video logs and stuff that Tim does. And we're talking about some of the topics and some of the subject. Kevin Hanch is probably a good example of how people should aspire to be, which is he is very progressive in his thoughts, but he also doesn't ignore gravity. Like, he understands that football does help boys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He understands the role that sports play. He understands the importance of, you know, hard work and communication and getting along with and whatever. And he is politically, you know, very progressive on every subject you could think of. I'm assuming he votes Democrat for sure, and I'm sure he hates Trump, but I don't think we ever talk about anything where we disagree. Right. We go out and eat, we don't stay off this subject and stay off that subject. We just talk about life constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has all the same thoughts because he comes from a sports background. He understands what that does. He understands what work means and how it, whatever. And, it's a good example. I don't think him and Tim politically are the same guy, but he's able to write words for Tim. Him and Tim are thick as thieves. The three of us have gone out to have the same steakhouse before. There's no problems.
Yeah, totally.
It's just a guy wanting to make money and get along and convey thoughts, and he doesn't. He also realizes he's writing thoughts for somebody else who's a different character, who comes from a different place, who's wired differently politically than he is, and he gets inside that guy's head and he does his fucking job. Yeah.
That's obscene.
It's weird that we. That's Tim Allen. Oh. why should we go any other route than this? I
don't know.
That's the way to do it, because that friction's good for America. It's when it becomes like cult-like and weird is when everything becomes politicized. I don't think politics divide people very much. I think it's just culture. Like, can we both agree on that the world isn't just all nonsense?
I agree, and I, like I said, look no further than Kevin Hench, who, God bless him, has got a show back on, and Tim's working, and he's writing, and
that's awesome.
everything's going, and he's hammering checks, and good for everybody involved.
We need sports.
We need more sports. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Busiek!
Gina!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Castrol Edge, before we go anywhere. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown. Rob that engine. Up to 10% and performance loss. You need Castrol Edge. Engineered with fluid titanium technology. Physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction and deliver maximum engine performance from your car three times, fool! Against viscosity breakdown than the leading full synthetic oils. Castrol Edge, unlock the true performance in your car's engine today. All right, let's see. Us live shows everywhere, Seattle and Pasadena and Phoenix. Pasadena's coming up August 29th, and then that's Dr. Drew up on stage with us at the Ice House. And then we go to the Moore Theater. Big, beautiful, historic Moore Theater, September 13th.
Adam Ray, great dude.
Adam Ray, we love him. We'll do a live show up there. Phoenix Stand Up Live, me and Mike August going over movies. Basic Cable Commentary, two shows in Phoenix Stand Up Live, October 6th. And Anaheim Grove, November 30th. You just go to amcroll.com for everything. Go to Owen Benjamin. Let's see, website, huge pianist. .com
well
for dates.
Well-tuned pianist.
Can't wait till that sign comes in. Dates. You can go there. And also, Why Didn't They Laugh, the podcast. I'll see you Saturday night, Owen.
Thanks for having me, man. It's been a blast.
I love it. Until next time. This is Adam Kroll for Dennis Miller, Owen Benjamin, Gina Grad, and Bald Ryan. Say mahalo.
He says, quote, follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail if I can find the number. It's 888-634-1744. That sounds right. I've said it enough times. Yeah, 800-634-1744. Look at that. August 29th, Ice House, Pasadena, Dr. Drew. September 13th, Moore Theater with Adam Ray. Tickets and info on everything at AdamCarolla.com.